Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of all that exists. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi khalqillahi. And may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most noble of the creation of Allah, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and likewise that of all of his family members and companions in entirety. Amma ba'd. As for what follows, we thank Allah Ta'ala, the one who has gathered us online on this Saturday afternoon, the second day of the month of Rajab, the seventh month of the Islamic calendar, in the year 1437. We've come together, starting a new book from one of the classic texts in Aqidah, in beliefs, written by one of the finest of the scholars of Al-Islam, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. And his book is called Thalathatul Usul, or Al-Usulu Thalatha, the three principles, or it may be titled Thalathatul Usul, which means three of the principles, three of the foundational principles of Al-Islam. And what that is a reference to is the three questions that a servant is asked in his grave, Man Rabbuk, who is your Lord, Wa Ma Dinuk, and what is your religion, Wa Man Nabiyuk, and who is your prophet. So then, knowing about Allah, knowing about the religion of Al-Islam, and knowing about Muhammad, the prophet of Al-Islam, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is of the utmost importance for every Muslim. So this book, Al-Usulu Thalatha, the three principles, focuses on these three matters with some very beautiful introductory matters and some fine details throughout. And we're going to be looking at the text of this book using the classic explanation, or the widespread and widely known explanation, by the great scholar of this modern era, the Allama Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him. His explanation is of moderate length, and in under 150 pages of medium to larger sized Arabic text, we will complete the study of this book in what I estimate to be about 30 sessions, and Allahu Ta'ala knows best. We'll begin at this time, insha'Allahu Ta'ala, with this great book, Al-Usulu Thalatha, and we'll begin with the Basmala. The author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab, At-Tamimi, rahimahullah, may Allahu Ta'ala have mercy upon him, stated, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. The word bism is a combination of two words. Ba as a harf jar, as a preposition. It means in or of or through. And the word ism, written with an alif, alif sin meem. However, here in the construction of the Basmala, Bismillah, the Aleph is not written. Ba, Sin, and Mim together. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he stated in his explanation, Ibtada al-Mu'allifu, rahimahullah, the author began, may Allah have mercy on him, kitabahu, his book, bil-Basmala, with the Basmala, which is the statement, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Iqtida'an, in following, Bikitabillah, the book of Allah, Azza wa Jal, the mighty and majestic, فَإِنَّهُ مَبْدُوءٌ بِالْبَسْمَلَةِ As it begins with the basmala phrase, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَاتِّبَاعًا لِحَدِيثِ كُلُّ أَمْنٍ ذِبَالٍ And in following the hadith, every affair of importance, لَا يُبْدَأُ فِيهِ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ أَبْتَرٌ That does not begin with Bismillah is cut off or deficient. And this hadith is not authentic, as many of the scholars of hadith have explained. However, its meaning is something that the scholars refer to, and they refer to it as a hadith yurwa, a hadith which has been narrated. And it seems that the scholars have so commonly used this hadith in their books that suffices us from the lack of authenticity, the fact that it's relied upon so heavily by the scholars in their various works. And some of the scholars even, the likes of An-Nawawi, Rahimahullah, and others, have declared the hadith to be acceptable. The Shaykh goes on to say, وَاقْتِدَاءً بِالرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ And in following, or taking the example of, the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, فَإِنَّهُ يَبْدَأُ كُتُبَهُ بِالْبَسْمَلَةِ Because he would begin his writings, meaning his letters that he would send to the various leaders of nations, he would begin them with the basmala. He would begin them with the basmala phrase, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ The Shaykh then says, الْجَارُ وَالْمَجْرُورُ The jar and majroor, the prepositional phrase, the ba, along with the word ism, the word bism, muta'alliqun bimahdufin, it has a connection to a meaning which is understood but not mentioned. Fi'lin mu'akharin munasabin lilmaqami. It is a verb that is considered to be later than its actual place when one looks at i'rab. مُنَاسَبٌ لِلْمَقَامِ Befitting for the context, تَقْدِيرُهُ And its estimated wording, or its understood wording, which is not stated but understood, is بِسْمِ اللَّهِ What? In the name of Allah, أَكْتُبُ I write. أَوْ أُصَنِّفُ Or I begin this authorship. So, Bismillahi aktubu, O Bismillahi usannifu. وَقَدَّرْنَاهُ فِعْلًا And we have considered the unmentioned phrase, but understood from the context, which is subject to ijtihad and differing of opinions. We have considered it to be a fi'l. Shaykh Muhammad bin Saleh considers that which is missing to be a fi'l, a verb, meaning not a noun. And what would the noun be, just so we know what the other option would be? It would be, for example, هذا بسم الله. This is in the name of Allah. Being a nominal sentence, being a noun-based sentence. So he says he's chosen to understand it as a verb-based sentence. إني أكتب بسم الله. And putting the verb later, after the جار and مجرور, as he says, مؤخر. But here, why did he choose it to be a فعل, he says? Why did he choose a verb? لِأَنَّ الْأَصْلَ فِي الْعَمَلِ الْأَفْعَالِ Because the base rule on actions, and this is an action, the beginning of something, is verbs, using verbs for that. وَقَدَّرْنَاهُ مُؤَخَّرًا لِفَائِدَتَيْنِ And we decided that it would be مُؤَخَّر. مُؤَخَّر here means بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَكْتُبْ and not مُقَدَّمْ. أَكْتُبُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ So he's saying, we consider the بِسْمِ اللَّهِ to come with بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَكْتُبُ with the phrase أَكْتُبُ coming after the basmala phrase. Why did he do that? He said he considered it like this for two basic benefits. الْأُولَى أَتَبَرُّكُ بِالْبَدَاءَةِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى Seeking blessings in beginning with the name of Allah, the glorified and most high, meaning the name of Allah before the verb. Bismillahi, abda'u, or bismillahi aktubu, in the name of Allah I write, not I write in the name of Allah. Athaniya, he says, the second benefit of considering the verb to be after the prepositional phrase bismillahi aktubu, ifadatul hasar, the prepositional phrase being focused on and exclusive. لأن التقديم المتعلق يفيد الحصر. Because putting forth the المتعلق, the جار المجرور here, he means putting forth the prepositional phrase indicates حصر, indicates exclusivity. That it is, for example, بسم الله أكتب and بسم الله ولا بسم غيره, in the name of Allah and not in the name of anyone else. حصرًا. In the name of Allah alone I write. You could say that's part of the way the Shaykh has chose to understand the basmala here. وَقَدَّرْنَاهُ مُنَاسَبًا لِأَنَّهُ أَدَلُّ عَلَى الْمُرَادِ فَلَوْ قُلْنَا مَثَلًا إِنَّمَا نُرِيدُ أَن نَقْرَأَ كِتَابًا. And we have considered it to be contextually appropriate because that is more in line with what would bring about what the author intended. فَلَوْ قُلْنَا, so for example, if we were to say, مَثَلًا, for example, عِنْدَمَا نُرِيدُ أَن نَقْرَأَ كِتَابًا, when we decide that we would like to read a book, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ نَبْتَدِئُ, in the name of Allah we begin, مَا يَدْرِي بِمَاذَا نَبْتَدِئُ, we don't know what it is that we're beginning. لَكِنْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ أَقْرَأُ, in the name of Allah I read, يَكُونُ أَدَلَّ عَلَى الْمُرَادِ, that is something more in line with what was intended by the author. Meaning, bismillahi nabtadi'u, or bismillahi abda'u, for example, in the name of Allah I begin. Begin is an ambiguous verb. Begin what? You can begin anything. But when you say bismillahi aqra, in the name of Allah I read, or in the name of Allah I write, that is contextually appropriate and in line with what you're doing right now, reading a book, beginning to read a book. Versus when you begin to eat, you say, Bismillahi akulu, Bismillahi ashrabu, in the name of Allah I eat, or in the name of Allah I drink. So here, munasab means specifically appropriate, specifically contextualized to exactly what you are doing at this point. لكن بسم الله أقرأ يكون أدل على المراد. As he said, saying بسم الله أقرأ, in the name of Allah I read. That's from our angle now, just to be clear. This is more in line with the intended meaning الذي ابتدئ به, that it has begun with. Meaning, the author, when he wrote بسم الله, he had in mind بسم الله أكتب, in the name of Allah I write. Yet when we read the book, we don't have that in mind. We have something else in mind, which is more appropriate for our situation. Bismillahi aqra'u, in the name of Allah, I read. Allah, bismillah, the name of Allah, the Shaykh says, Allahu alamun ala al-bari, jalla wa ala. The word Allah is a name that refers to the Creator, the Mighty and Most High. Wa huwa al-ism الذي تتبعه جميع الأسماء. It's the name that all other names follow it. حتى إنه في قوله تعالى, so much so that even in the statement of Allah the Most High, كتاب أنزلناه إليك, a book that we have sent down upon you, O Muhammad, لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور بإذن ربهم, in order for you to bring the people out of layers of darkness into light by the permission of their Lord, بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ, out into the path of Al-Aziz, the Mighty, and Al-Hamid, the justly worthy of praise, or the most worthy of praise. الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Allah, meaning the path of Al-Aziz, Al-Hamid, Allah. Allah, the one that to him belongs what is in the heavens and what is on earth. وَوَيْلٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. And woe to the disbelieving people. Let them receive a warning of a painful torment. And these are the first and second verses of Surah Ibrahim. لَا نَقُولُ, the Shaykh says, we don't say here, إِنَّ لَفْظَ الْجَلَالَةِ, the name of majesty, which is a reference to Allah, Sifa, we don't say it's an adjective or an attribute of Allah. بَلْ نَقُولُ, rather we say, هِيَ عَطْفُ بَيَانٍ لِأَنْ لَا يَكُونَ لَفْظُ الْجَلَالَةِ تَابِعًا تَبَعِيَّةَ النَّعْتِ لِلْمَنْعُوتِ. We say it is something that comes after Al-Aziz, Al-Hamid, Allah. Al-Aziz, Al-Hamid, Allah. It comes connected to the names before it, not a description of Al-Aziz and Al-Hamid, but rather the third of the names of Allah mentioned in this passage. Ar-Rahman, Allahu Ta'ala describes himself as Ar-Rahman, and the Shaykh uses Ar-Rahman in his Basmala, Bismillahi Ar-Rahmani, in the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, the possessor of mercy. The Shaykh says, Ismun min al-asma'i al-mukhtassa billahi azza wa jal. It is a name from those which are exclusive to Allah, the mighty and majestic. La yutraqu ala ghayrihi. It is not to be used for anyone else. Wal-Rahmanu ma'niyahu. And the meaning of this name, Ar-Rahman, is al-muttasifu bil-rahmati al-wasi'a, the one who is described with all-encompassing mercy. Ar-Rahim, bismillahi, Ar-Rahmani, Ar-Rahimi, the name of Allah, the one whose mercy is all-expansive, Ar-Rahimi. Now this name comes, the name of Allah, which also is based on rahmah. It is rooted in mercy. يُطْرَقُ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَعَلَى غَيْرِهِ. It is a name that applies to Allah, that is used to refer to Allah, and it is also used to refer to others. Meaning, it is not like Ar-Rahman, a name that is exclusively to Allah alone. Rather, the people may be called Rahim. وَمَعْنَاهُ, and the meaning of Ar-Rahim is ذُرْرَحْمَةِ الْوَاصِلَةِ, the possessor of mercy that reaches its intended object. فَالرَّحْمَانُ, so Ar-Rahman, comparatively, ذُرْرَحْمَةِ الْوَاسِعَةِ, the possessor of expansive mercy. وَالرَّحِيمُ ذُرْرَحْمَةِ الْوَاصِلَةِ, the possessor of mercy that indeed reaches its intended object. فَإِذَا جُمِعَ صَارَ الْمُرَادُ بِالرَّحِيمِ. When they are mentioned together, then the meaning of الرحيم is الْمُوسِلُ رَحْمَتَهُ إِلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ, the one who delivers his mercy to whomever he chooses of his servants. كما قال الله تعالى, as Allah the Most High has said, يعذب من يشاء ويرحم من يشاء, he punishes whomever he wills, and he has mercy on whomever he wills. وإليه تقلبون, and to him you shall turn back, or to him you shall return in the end. From Surah Al-Ankabut, the 21st verse. Then the author states, إعلم, have knowledge. He addresses the reader directly, saying, I'lam, I command you to have knowledge. The Shaykh says in explanation of this, Al-ilmu huwa idraku shay'i ala ma huwa alayhi idrakan jazima. Knowledge is to understand something for what it is, and to understand it absolutely like that, meaning jaziman, without any doubt. You understand clearly a thing to be what it is. That is knowledge. وَمَرَاتِبُ الْإِدْرَاكِ sit, and the levels of comprehending things, or understanding things, you could say in a loose way, the levels are six. The Sheikh says, Al-Ula, the first of those levels, Al-Ilmu, وَهُوَ إِدْرَاكُ الشَّيْءِ عَلَى مَا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ إِدْرَاكًا جَازِمًا. It is knowledge, and that is to understand something for what it is, clearly and absolutely. الثانية, the second kind of understanding things is الجهل البسيط, simple, basic ignorance. وَهُوَ عَدَمُ الْإِدْرَاكِ وَهُوَ عَدَمُ الْإِدْرَاكِ بِالْكُلِّيَّ. It is to not have any grasp at all of what the thing is. Absolute, pure ignorance. Now, of course, these are not in order, like most knowledgeable down to the least knowledgeable, because obviously we have the first category being absolute knowledge of what a thing is. And then secondly, he mentions absolute ignorance of what a thing is. And now the others are going to be in the middle. الثالثة, الجهل المركب. Or this one actually is not in the middle. الجهل المركب is called complex ignorance, or compound ignorance, you could say. وهو إدراك الشيء على وجه يخالف ما هو عليه. It is to understand something in a way that contradicts what it's really upon. And الجاهل, جهلا مركبا, the ignorant one who has compound ignorance, he believes he knows what the thing is, but he has the wrong understanding. Whereas الجاهل جهلا بسيطا, the ignorant one who has simple, pure ignorance, he understands that he doesn't know. And he says about himself, if asked about that thing, I do not know what that is. Whereas الجاهل جهلا مركبا, he believes he understands and he believes he has العلم about what it is, but he doesn't. الرابعة, the fourth kind of comprehension, or the fourth level of comprehension of a matter, الوهم. الوهم, you could say, is misunderstanding. وهو إدراك الشيء مع احتمال ضد راجح. It is to understand something, you know, with such a weakness that there is the possibility of another understanding being more appropriate, that you acknowledge as a person who is upon wahm. والخامسة, the fifth kind of comprehending a matter is الشك, that is doubt. وهو إدراك الشيء مع احتمال مساو, that is to consider a matter to be something while you have a similar possibility that you believe may be the case. Not overwhelming, but similar in possibility. Meaning it's 50-50, either this or that. And that is called a shak, doubt. A sadisa, the sixth one he mentions, is a dhan. A dhan is an assumption. وَهُوَ إِدْرَاكُ الشَّيْءِ مَعَ إِحْتِمَالِ وِدٍ مَرْجُوحٍ. It is that you think of something to be a certain way, but you also realize there's another possibility which you don't believe to be likely. That's what a dhan, assumption. You assume it to be correct, but you realize there's this possibility which is not overwhelming and not equal to how you understand it. Then the Shaykh says, وَالْعِلْمُ يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَىٰ قِسْمَيْنِ ضَرُورِيٍّ وَنَظَرِيٍّ. And knowledge can be divided into two categories. ضروري, that which is absolutely necessary, and that which is نظري, that which is what? Speculative. فضروري ما يكون إدراك المعلوم فيه ضروريا. The ضروري knowledge, the necessary, absolutely necessary knowledge, is that which understanding it is absolutely important. ضروريا بحيث يضطر إليه من غير نظر. Where a person has to understand it, even without any research, wala istidlal, without being able to prove it. كالعلم بأن النار حارة مثلا. Like knowledge that fire is hot, for example. يعني absolutely essential, no one is ignorant of it. علم ضروري. والنظري, and speculative knowledge, ما يحتاج إلى نظر واستدلال, and that which requires study and the usage of proofs, كالعلم بوجوب النية في الوضوء, like the knowledge of understanding the obligation of having an intention for الوضوء. When a person says you must have a niyyah when you perform the act of ablution, wudu, it is your right to say, what is your proof for this obligation? It is your right to say, I need nadar, I need to study it, I need istidlal, I need to have someone show me through evidence that I have to have an intention. And it would be said to you, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that actions are only acceptable by their intentions. And they would mention to you that hadith. So then, for someone to claim it's an obligation to have the intention of raf'ul hadath, of changing states of spiritual purity, they have to have evidence, and you need to ask for evidence, and you are going at this from the angle of this is not something known clearly, instinctually, and absolutely to every person. It's something that must be studied and understood through the use of evidences. The author of the text says, Rahimakallah, i'lam, have knowledge, Rahimakallah, may Allah have mercy on you. He makes dua for the reader. Rahimakallah, afadha alayka min rahmatihi. The meaning of may Allah have mercy on you is may Allah pour down upon you from His mercy, allati tuhassilu biha ala matrubik, that mercy which will enable you to gain that which you seek after. Watanju min mahdhurik, and to be safe and reach salvation from the thing that you are fleeing from that which you are trying to be weary of and stay away from. Falma'na ghafara Allahu lak. So the meaning is, may Allah forgive you, ma mada min dhunubika, of all things that have preceded of your previous sins. Wa waffaqaka wa asamaka fima yastaqbilu minha. And may Allah give you success and protect you in everything coming in the future for you. Hada idha ufridat ar-rahma. That is if ar-rahma is mentioned alone. أَمَّا إِذَا قُرِنَتْ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ, however, if it's mentioned, coupled in mention with مَغْفِرَةِ, with forgiveness, meaning Allah is غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ in some passages. He is غَفُور, the all-forgiving, and رَحِيمٌ, the all-merciful. In passages where مَغْفِرَةِ, forgiveness, and رَحْمَة are mentioned together, the Shaykh says, فَالْمَغْفِرَةُ, then forgiveness, لِمَا مَضَى مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ, is related to previous sins that have been committed. وَالرَّحْمَةُ وَالتَّوْفِيقُ لِلْخَيْرِ وَالسَّلَامَةُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. It should say, وَالرَّحْمَةُ التَّوْفِيقُ, not وَالرَّحْمَةُ وَالتَّوْفِيقُ, but وَالرَّحْمَةُ التَّوْفِيقُ لِلْخَيْرِ. So mercy, in that case then, paired with مَغْفِرَةُ, mercy, rahma, is being given success in attaining good, wassalamati, and safety, min al-dunub, safety from sinful behavior, fil mustaqbal, in one's future. Wasani'u al-mu'allifi, rahimahullah, and the way the author has stated this, his method of stating this, may Allah have mercy on him, rahimahullahu ta'ala, may Allah the Most High have mercy on him, yadullu ala inayatihi, وَشَفَقَتِهِ بِالْمُخَاطَبِ, shows the attention that he had and the compassion that he had for the one he's addressing, meaning those he wrote to in his lifetime and those who he intended would read his books after his death or after his lifetime or after their original intended delivery. وَقَصْدِ الْخَيْرِ لَهُ, and that he intended good for that person or that entire body of people, those who would read his writings. So he said, I'lam rahimakallah, no, may Allah have mercy on you, أنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل. That we are required. It is an obligation upon us to learn four matters. The Shaykh says, هذه المسائل التي ذكرها المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى. These matters that are mentioned by the author, may Allah the Most High have mercy upon him, تشمل الدين كله. They include the entire religion. فهي جديرة بالعناية لعظم نفعها. So they are very appropriate to be focused on because of the greatness of the benefit that is involved with their study. الأولى, the first of these four matters that we must learn, العلم, is knowledge. وهو, and it is, معرفة الله. It is to know Allah. The Shaykh says, أي معرفة الله عز وجل بالقلب معرفة تستلزم قبول ما شرعه. To know Allah, the mighty and majestic, with one's heart, with an acquaintance that includes the requirement of accepting everything he legislated. والإذعان والانقياد له. And submitting and turning oneself over to him. وتحكيم شريعته. And implementing his legislative rulings. Applying his legislative rulings. التي جاء بها رسوله محمد. Those that his messenger Muhammad came with. صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. ويتعرف العبد على ربه. And the servant, the slave, gets to know his master, his lord, his creator. بالنظر في الآيات الشرعية. By studying the ayat, the Quranic verses that legislate matters. في كتاب الله. In the book of Allah, عز وجل, mighty and majestic. وسنة رسوله. صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in the sunnah of his messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. والنظر, and as well through studying في الآيات الكونية, the signs within the creation, التي هي المخلوقات, those things which are the created beings and the created things. فإن الإنسان كلما نظر في تلك الآيات, because a person, every time he contemplates or studies those signs, ازداد علما بخالقه ومعبوده. He is increased in knowledge about his creator and about his object of worship. قال الله عز وجل, Allah the mighty and majestic has said, وفي الأرض آيات للموقنين. And upon earth there are signs for people of certainty. وفي أنفسكم, and as well within your own selves. Meaning there are signs. أفلا تبصرون, do you not look with insight? Do you not contemplate with insight? From Surah Al-Dhariyat, the 20th and 21st verses. ومعرفة نبيه, knowledge is what? Al-ilmu wa huwa ma'rifatullah. Knowledge is knowing Allah. Wa ma'rifatu nabiyyihi. And it is knowing his prophet. The Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah stated in his explanation of knowing the messenger, ay ma'rifata rasulihi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is knowing his messenger Muhammad, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. Al-ma'rifata allati tastalzimu qabula ma ja'a bihi. The kind of awareness and knowledge that comes with it, the requirement of accepting everything he came with. Min al-huda wa din al-haq, of guidance and the religion of truth. Wa tasdiqahu fima akhbar, and believing in everything that he reported. وامتثال أمره فيما أمر, and fulfilling the orders that he ordered us with, وَاجْتِنَابَ مَا نَهَا عَنْهُ وَزَجَرُ, and staying away from the things he forbade and restricted us from, وَتَحْكِيمَ شَرِيعَتِهِ, and implementing his legislative rulings, وَالرِّضَى بِحُكْمِهِ, and being pleased with his verdict. قال الله عز وجل, Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, but no, I swear by your Lord, O Muhammad, Allah swears by himself in this verse, لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, they, meaning the people, do not believe, they shall not be believers, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ, until they make you the hakim, until they make you the judge, فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, in all matters that they differ over, ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا, then, meaning it's not enough that they make you a judge between them, but they also have no problems within themselves, no harm, no feeling of discontentment, مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ, from what you have given as a judgment, وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا, and they submit in full compliance. That's from Surah An-Nisa, the 65th verse. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّمَا كَانَ قَوْلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذَا دُعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, the only statement of believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger, لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَهُمْ, in order to judge between them, أَنْ يَقُولُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, that they say, we have heard and we have obeyed. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, and such are the people who are successful. From Surah An-Nur, the 51st verse. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى, and Allah the Most High has said, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, and if you fall out, if you differ about any matter, then return it back to Allah and the Messenger. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, if you truly believe in Allah and the last day, ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا, that is better and finer for a final outcome. From Surah An-Nisa, the 59th verse. وَقَالَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ, let those beware, those who violate his order or contradict his order, أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ, lest a trial, a fitna, a tribulation befall them, أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, or a painful punishment befall them. From Surah An-Nur, the 63rd verse. قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله, Imam Ahmad, may Allah have mercy on him, stated, أَتَدْرِي مَا الْفِتْنَةِ, do you know what fitna is? Meaning the fitna mentioned in this verse, that we are warned of, that if we violate his order, we may be put to a fitna. What is that fitna? He said, الفتنة الشرك, that trial, that tribulation is polytheism. لعله إذا رد بعض قوله, for if a person were to reject some of his statements, the statements of the Messenger, صلى الله عليه وسلم, it may likely be, أن يقع في قلبه شيء, that something may come in his heart, من الزيغ, of deviation, فيهلك, and thus he would be destroyed. And the third matter that we must know about, as introduced by the author, وَمَعْرِفَةُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and to know about the religion of al-Islam, بِالْأَدِلَّةِ, with evidences. Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen says, قَوْلُهُ مَعْرِفَةُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ, to know about the religion of al-Islam, al-Islamu بِالْمَعْنَى الْعَامِ, Islam in its general sense, هُوَ التَّعَبُّدُ لِلَّهِ, it is to worship Allah, مِمَا شَرَعَ مُنْذُ أَنْ أَرْسَلَ اللَّهُ الرَّسُلُ, with what Allah has legislated since the first messenger sent, إِلَىٰ أَن تَقُومَ السَّاعَةَ, all the way until the last hour is established. كَمَا ذَكَرَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ ذَٰلِكَ, as that has been mentioned by Allah the Mighty and Majestic, في آيات كثيرة, in many verses, تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الشَّرَائِعَ السَّابِقَ, they prove that the previous legislations, كُلَّهَا إِسْلَامٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, all of them are counted as Islam. Islam, submission to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, Allah the Most High says, quoting what Ibrahim stated, رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ, O Allah, make us Muslims to you, submitters to you, and of our progeny, أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً, an ummah, a whole nation of Muslims, in submission to you. From Surah Al-Baqarah, the 128th verse. وَالْإِسْلَامُ بِالْمَعْنَى الْخَاصِ, Islam with a more narrow or more restricted meaning, بعد بعثة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يختص بما بعث به محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, is restricted specifically or understood specifically to be what Muhammad was sent with. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. لأن ما بعث به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, that is because what the Prophet was sent with, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, نسخ جميع الأديان السابقة, it abrogates all of the previous religions, فصار من اتبعه مسلما, so then whoever follows him, meaning Muhammad, is a Muslim, ومن خالفه ليس بمسلم, and whoever stands in opposition to him, he is not a Muslim, فأتباع الرسلي مسلمون, so the followers of all messengers, they are مسلمون, they are Muslims, في زمن رسلهم, in the time periods of their messengers, فاليهود مسلمون في زمن موسى صلى الله عليه وسلم, so the Jews were Muslims in the time of Musa, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. And the Shaykh intends here, المتبعين لموسى, not every single one of Bani Israel, for surely many of them were hypocrites and many of them were disbelievers. However, the true followers of Musa in his time were Muslimun, submitters, submitting themselves to Allah, following the messenger that Allah had sent them. والنصارى مسلمون, and the Christians were Muslims, في زمن عيسى, in the time of Jesus, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَأَمَّا حِينَ بُعِثَ النَّبِيُّ مُحَمَّدٌ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since the dispatching or the sending forth of the messenger Muhammad, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. فَكَفَرُوا بِهِ, they have disbelieved in him. فَلَيْسُوا بِمُسْلِمِينَ, they are not Muslims. The Shaykh doesn't mean every one of the Yahud and every one of the Nasara, every one of the Jews and every one of the Christians, because there are those from the Jews and Christians who have recognized Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a true prophet from Allah and declared him to be such openly and have followed his religion, from amongst the companions, Salman al-Farisi and others. وَهَذَا الدِّينُ الْإِسْلَامِ, and this Islamic religion, هو الدين المقبول عند الله النافع لصاحبه, it is the acceptable religion to Allah, that which is beneficial to the one who holds to it. قال الله عز وجل, Allah the Mighty and Majestic has said, إن الدين عند الله الإسلام, verily the true religion with Allah is Islam. The 19th verse of Surah Ali Imran. وَقَالَ وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا, and whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ, then it shall not be accepted from him, وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, and he shall be in the hereafter among the losers. The 85th verse of Surah Ali Imran. وَهَذَا الْإِسْلَامُ هُوَ الْإِسْلَامُ الَّذِي امْتَنَّ اللَّهُ بِهِ, على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمته. And this Islam, this religion of Islam, it is the Islam that Allah has bestowed upon Muhammad. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace and his nation. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High has stated, اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم. On this day, I have perfected for you your religion. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I have completed my favor upon you. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, and I have been pleased for you with Islam as your religion. The third verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And the last thing we'll look at today is the word بِالْأَدِلَّةِ. We must know Islam through its evidences. بِالْأَدِلَّةِ. The Shaykh says, بِالْأَدِلَّةِ جَمْعُ دَلِيلٍ. أَدِلَّةِ is the plural of dalil, evidence. وَهُوَ مَا يُرْشِدُ إِلَى الْمَطْلُوبِ. It is what guides a person to what he is looking for. It is something that leads a person to his goal. وَالْأَدِلَّةُ, and evidences, عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ ذَلِكَ سَمْعِيَّ وَعَقْلِيَّ. And evidences, as it relates to knowing that, knowing the religion, they are سَمْعِيَّ and عَقْلِيَّ. Sam'iyya means they are textual evidences that you hear. And aqliyya means rational evidences that a proper, untainted intellect can think with. فَسَمْعِيَّةُ, so textual evidences, مَا ثَبَتَ بِالْوَحِي, are those things established by revelation. وَهُوَ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُنَّةُ, that's the book and the sunnah. وَالْعَقْلِيَّةُ, and rational arguments, مَا ثَبَتَ بِالنَّظَرِ وَالتَأَمُّلِ, those which are established through study and contemplation. وَقَدْ أَكْثَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَذَا النَّوْعِ. And Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has mentioned a great number from this category of rational arguments. فِي كِتَابِهِ, in His book. فَكَمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهَا. How many of the verses do you find Allah saying in them, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ كَذَا وَكَذَا, and from his ayat, from his signs are this and that. وَهَكَذَا يَكُونُ سِيَاقُ الْأَدِلَّةِ الْعَقْلِيَّةِ الدَّالَّةِ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And this is how proper rational arguments that prove the existence of Allah and the attributes and worthiness of Allah to be worshipped alone, this is how they are in the book of Allah. وَأَمَّا مَعْرِفَةُ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as for knowing the messenger, bil adillat as-sam'iyyah, through textual evidences, famithru qawlihi ta'ala, then an example would be the statement of Allah the Most High, Muhammadun Rasulullahi, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, walladhina ma'ahu al-aya, to the rest of that verse, the 29th verse of Surah Al-Fath. وَقَوْلُهُ, and his statement as well, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبَلِهِ الرَّسُولِ. Muhammad was but a messenger, and messengers before him have passed away. From Surah Ali Imran, the 144th verse. بِالْأَدِلَّةِ الْعَقْلِيَّةِ بِالنَّظَرِ وَالتَأَمُّلِ, and with rational arguments through study and contemplation, فِيمَا أَتَى بِهِ من الآيات البينات, regarding what he has brought of clear proofs, آيات, signs, آيات, التي أعظمها, the greatest of which, كتاب الله عز وجل, is the book of Allah, the mighty and majestic, المشتمل على الأخبار الصادقة, that which contains truthful, accurate, historical reports, النافعة, that are beneficial, والأحكام, and rulings, الصالحة, العادلة, those which correct, and those which are just and fair. وما جرى على يديه من خوارق, من خوارق العادات, and as well, those supernatural things, you can say, out of the ordinary things, things that go outside of the physical laws of the creation as we know it, meaning the miracles that he had. وَمَا أَخْبَرَ بِهِ مِنْ أُمُورِ الْغَيْبِ, and as well his reports about things that were unknown or unseeable. أَلَّتِي لَا تَصْدُرُ إِلَّا عَنْ وَحِي, those things which could only come from revelation, وَالَّتِي صَدَّقَهَا مَا وَقَعَ مِنْهَا, those things which some of them occurred as they have been predicted, testify to the truthfulness of the one who foretold them. And with this, we'll stop at this time, thanking Allah Ta'ala for allowing us to come together with beloved brothers for the sake of Allah in the state of Florida, our brothers at the Tarbiyah Initiative of Southern Florida. May Allah Ta'ala grant them success. And our brothers in Masjid Quba in Orlando, and our brothers in the Islamic Center of Palm Beach, may Allah Ta'ala grant them all success and grant them prosperity in their da'wah and make them great examples of what it means to carry the message of the book and the sunnah upon the way of the companions. We ask Allah Ta'ala for that, for us and for all of them and for all of you who are listening. Wallahu a'lam, and Allah knows best. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. If there's a chance for a correction to a mistake I made, or a question or comment on the topic that's beneficial, we could possibly entertain it at this time, insha'Allah ta'ala.
It says those who follow the messenger are not Muslim, so how do we understand this with the people of innovation?
It's as if the question is connected to something that wasn't stated, but maybe understood, that someone who doesn't follow the messenger is not a Muslim. Someone who doesn't follow the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by not ascribing to him at all, by not recognizing him, then clearly that person is not a Muslim. Someone who does not follow the messenger in a case or another, meaning he believes in Allah, which is following the messenger. He believes in the angels, which is following the messenger. He believes in the books and the prophets, the last day. He believes Qadr. He believes that Iman increases and decreases. He believes in the punishment of the grave. He believes in the presence of jinn. He knows magic is real. He knows the Ayn, the evil eye, is real. He believes all of these things because of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But he doesn't follow the messenger, for example, in certain matters, like the beard. He doesn't have a beard. Or his salat, his prayer, is done in contradiction to the guidance of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Perhaps he sways back and forth in his salat, or perhaps he doesn't settle into ruku', or these kinds of matters. These individual matters are the case of people who are followers of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's not to be said about them that they are not followers of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but their following is deficient, and they need to be taught, advised, and guided to proper following of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You asked also about Ahlul Bid'ah, the people of innovation. The scholars classify the people of Bid'ah as not anyone who opposes the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on any issue, like an act of disobedience or an act of neglect in the religion, but rather someone who opposes the foundations of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even as little as one singular foundation of the religion of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thus he is, with this opposition, he is a mubtadi', is a person of innovation, like the Khawarij, who said we do not have to hear and obey the rulers of the Muslims, rather we must enjoin the good and forbid the evil of them and force them into obedience and rebel against them, and at times declaring them disbelievers because of their sinful behavior and so on. Or the likes of the Murji'ah, who said that Iman does not increase or decrease, and actions are not an essential part of al-Iman. Or the Qadariyah, who denied Qadr and said actions happen randomly, and Allah Ta'ala knows about them once they happen, but He did not plan out every single affair that has happened. These people are Ahlul Bid'ah. And some of Ahlul Bid'ah, some of the people of innovation, are outside of Islam because of their innovation, and some of them remain within the fold of al-Islam, but upon a very dangerous path, one that does not stop the people of the Sunnah from warning against them sternly. And Allah Ta'ala knows best.